All right, what's up, everyone? My name is Stephen Rice. I'm here at We The Hobby. I'm one of our baseball breakers, and Bowman Chrome is a week away, and I can't wait to talk more about it. I have Baseball America with Seth and JJ. Thank you so much for being here.
Glad to be here.
Well, first and foremost, I mean, this is going to be one of the most anticipated products of 2025. And of course, nothing better too than bring in probably the biggest insight of baseball when it comes to prospects and the card itself. But JJ, I want to start with you first and foremost too. What kind of prospects are going to be coming out here in 2025? New, old school, what are we expecting here for Bowman Chrome?
So this is what I love about this set. And again, I will tell you, Seth, you know, and I have done breaks and all before. There was one we did where he pulled a Sebastian Walcott 1/1 refractor. And I'm like, oh, that's a good prospect. And he had to explain to me. So I'm not going to tell you that I am the expert when it comes to cards. But looking through the checklist and all for this set, this obviously has, I would say, a wide array of names that are just bursting on for us over the last year or so, like guys on the international market who haven't played beyond the DSL. And we send someone to the DSL. We just posted our DSL top 35 prospects. They're names that for a lot of people, it's going to be, I'm sure, like, who is that? But you look at these and some of these guys, we look at last year's top 30 from our DSL list. And I think six or seven of those guys are already in the top 100 this year. I would expect a similar number of guys that will kind of be knocking on that door for next year. Now, again, I don't know if there's a Jesus Mate in that group necessarily, but maybe there is, and you know, Josuar Gonzalez or someone. But what we are looking at is some really premium names who are right there, I would say, are under the radar for even prospect hounds in a lot of cases.
You know, this list is unbelievable. And you just said Josuar Rodriguez, one of the biggest prospects in this. I think, in my opinion, Rynael Rodriguez, 18 years old, already in high A for the Cardinals. You see glimpses of just stardom when it comes to it. Can you talk a little bit more about Rynael Rodriguez and those Cardinals?
Yeah, I would say big power. Like, that you are talking about a guy who, and by the way, like, went from the complex to low, now, you know, low A to high A, kind of that fast mover as well. I would say he'll probably slow down a little bit the movement next year. I would say, you know, probably back to high A to start. You hope to see him in double A, but kind of like I'll put it this way. You look at where Eduardo Tait is now, you know, kind of as far as his prospect status. If you told me that Rynael Rodriguez is there early mid-year next year, that wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, he's a guy who's moved into our top 100 already. And I would say is definitely kind of one of the guys ticketed to probably move up. Because again, we're talking, obviously, as you move up, what really happens is some of guys get kind of, you new weaknesses get exposed. But the flip side of that is if you keep performing, that's when you move up, because there's a reason most of the guys in low A are at the bottom of 100, because we don't know, even we do not know nearly as much about that guy as the guy who's done double A, triple A time and kind of seen tougher competition and kind of been really kind of, you like, you've seen their weaknesses have been exposed, but also their strengths are even magnified in those cases.
It's unbelievable too, because like one thing that I always talk about as well, especially working in minor league baseball, is the players that are in the DSL and haven't come over stateside yet. It's a whole different story. They haven't seen the curveballs. They haven't seen the fastballs. They haven't seen specific realms that you see from college pitchers, from the SEC, from the ACC. And now you're seeing these guys that have all this raw talent, and now you're seeing them at another level. I mean, in this product too, we have a guy who was a DSL MVP in the Rockies set, which is unbelievable to talk about for guys like that. Alessandrar, you have Argillis, and you have guys that are now reaching the big leagues. You have Bryce Eldridge, you have Kyle Karros, and guys who are continuing to reach pinnacles of their career and are going to reach the big leagues at some point. Can you talk about how important it is for collectors when it comes to talk about guys that have already reached the pinnacle versus they're just getting there?
I would say that's what you also are looking at here is that if you're kind of looking at this, you know, and obviously a lot of people, you can think of it like stocks, right? Well, there are guys in this set that are absolutely, you kind of feel like you have a pretty good sense of who the player is. Like you said, when it, you know, with a Kyle Karros, I like Kyle Karros a lot, but he's a guy made the big leagues, really kind of had a great year, high A, double A, to the, you know, all the way up to the majors. He's performed. But you are talking about, okay, he's probably got that window of solid regular is what you're kind of hoping there. And then you have guys like the DSL guys on this list, a lot of them, where you can dream on extremely high ceilings, like best players in the game type ceilings. But you also understand that there's about 72 different potholes along the way that they could fall into that could trip them up, because you are talking about players who I know, like, the DSL part of this is really challenging, understandably, for people, because when we talk to evaluators, we talk to front offices, and they say, like, DSL stats, it's not like you ignore them, but you also understand that, as you mentioned, this is so far from, if you see a guy really performing in AAA, doesn't strike out, draws walks, you know, not a good in zone, you know, contact rate, all those things, you can feel reasonably comfortable that that's a player who, okay, they're going to make the jump to the majors and there should be okay. When you're talking about DSL players, you're talking about guys who, in some cases, you're talking about fully grown men. And in other cases, you're talking about players who, like, when we talk to scouts about him, it's like, this guy's really good. He also needs, and he probably will gain about 40 pounds over the next 5 years. So you're projecting on bodies and development and all these things that are very much to-do items that you don't know how that's going to turn out.
Exactly. And Seth, you know, a couple of years ago, we had a lot of, you know, players in previous product that are now making the jumps too. So are there teams or players that you also look at too, especially in Bowman Chrome, that you're like, yeah, you know what, we still need to look at these guys and these teams, because you know what, their development is great. You know, you watch the development of Jesus Madé and Luis Peña and watching what the Brewers are doing, or you go to the Tigers and you see, wow, West Michigan just had one of the best seasons in recent history. You know, you're seeing this development. So how does that affect those teams in this product this year?
Well, first of all, I like to include myself in JJ's list of people who might put on 40 or 50 pounds in the next few years, although I'll be doing it for different reasons. So one of the great things about Bowman Chrome, and, you know, I've been a long, long time breaker. I've only been at Baseball America for about 3.5 years now. And quick side note, when it comes to fantasy baseball and baseball cards, I feel like I'm insider trading every day, just being able to pick these guys' brains. I mean, there's so much deep dive type stuff. And one thing that I've learned in recent Bowman Chrome breaks, especially last year, is that there's really no bad teams. If you're going into a break with a We the Hobby, for example, and you're looking to buy a team, even the $29, $39, $49, $59 teams, take a chance on those guys, because you never know when those firsts, when those young player cards, when you're going to suddenly on a, you know, Friday afternoon, be getting together as many Jacob Mizierowski cards as you can, which have been sitting on the bottom of a box of, not commons, but on a, you know, sitting in the bottom of a box for a long time, and you never know. So that's part of the fun of the prospecting of this. You know, going into this year's release, and I hope this answers your question. I'm sorry, I've had a lot of caffeine today. My brain is
kind of all over. Absolutely.
You know, going into this year's release, we have a lot of the usual tippy top tier teams and a lot of the big chases a lot of people will be going for. The Red Sox with all the Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell stuff. The Dodgers, obviously. Any set that Shohei signs in is going to be a big chase. Just when we thought the Athletics couldn't be any bigger of a chase with the Kurt stuff and the Red RCs, now Topps announces that Shoeless Joe Jackson is going to have a first Bowman card as a member of the Philadelphia Athletics. So one of the biggest chases in one of the biggest prospect sets of the year is of a guy who was born in 1887. So that's kind of fun.
His first not projectable.
Yeah, it's not projectable at all. Yeah, yeah. Don't even think about that. Notes on that is always huge. And I mean, there's another guy that you even talked about too that is also just 18 years old that now is just in the ACL is Mori. And you have a little bit of the kanji signings and the Japanese now route with it too. It brings more to what even Shohei does. Now you're bringing these youngsters who are coming in. Can you talk a little bit about Mori of the Athletics?
So I would say he's one of the guys. He's interesting. He's very interesting. And again, looking at it from a interest standpoint, he's going to have that kind of extra boost. At the same time, kind of looking through checklist and all, I was also trying to highlight some guys who, not like that they have no chance or anything like that, but guys who may be a little bit more famous right now than their actual projection and all kind of projects. Mori fits on that list for me. Like, Mori's a guy who, when we talk to scouts about him, and again, understand acclimating to the U.S., there's a lot of caveat here, but more good player than great potentially. And again, good players can end up being very valuable and all that. But he is someone who I would say if you were scanning these lists and scanning these checklists, and you're even a pretty hardcore prospect fan, that's a name that's going to jump out to you because he's quite famous. I would say that right now, if you look at the ratio of fame to projection on him, I would say there's more fame than projection on him. Okay, like, which I have to then, I'm going to segue on that one to say one other like that, which is, it's not like, I think that Mets fans are going to think that we really are not Elian Pena fans because we did our top 35 DSL rankings and he was in the middle of the 20s on it. He wasn't 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And that's not because we don't think he has a chance to be a good, solid, like scouts. We talked to, I think, 5 different scouts who saw Elian Pena in the DSL. Josh Norris did that list for us. But they all said this guy has a chance to be good, but you're not seeing any plus tool really here. It's a pretty mature body. There's not a lot of bat speed. These things where you would say, I would say that he's probably, as far as the DSL guys, probably the most famous guy, understandably. Mets got top money and all that. He's not, by our standards, the best prospect who was in the DSL, or really one of the top 2, 3, 4. You want to say he's in that 10 to 20 range, I could buy that. But he's not one of the guys who really jumps out as like, wow, scouts were just raving about this guy and saying, just look at what this guy's going to be in a few years.
You know, and I think you actually make a great point as well, too. You also have to think about the systems that they're in as well. Mets will always compete. And so maybe a guy like that could be a trade piece a little bit later on. We saw how heavy the trade market was this past offseason and this past season as well, too. But also for like the Athletics, for instance, having a guy like Maury, well, they just got a guy named Leo DeVries. You know, there's not just anyone out there that they're going to plug up in front of him. So you always have to be wary about stuff like that.
And speaking of Leo DeVries, one of the teams that you know, look, you'll have the heavyweights, the Dodgers, the A's, the Red Sox in this break. The Padres are a team that might go a little bit under the radar, but the Padres are a team I'm very high on in this release, in part because they have multiple Garbage Pail Kid inserts, in part because they have multiple players on the International Prospect Refractors list, which those are going to sell huge. And again, baseballamerica.com, especially look for the stuff Ben Badler and Josh Norris do. They are phenomenal at covering those international guys. But Leo DeVries is all over the Padres list. He signs in the set. And given what we've seen from the Athletics in recent years, and you know, JJ can speak to this more than I can, they're certainly not shy about promoting guys to the majors and giving them a shot there. So that might be kind of a quick hack, you know, before he maybe sees some time in Sacramento.
And you'll note, Liv, that like we just did our final hot sheet of the regular season, and he was number one on that list, you know, the hottest prospect of the last week.
Yeah.
The thing that stands out is you might look at his year overall and go, okay, that was a good year. He really, you look from July 1st on, and he produced at an exceptional level and did that as, again, a guy who's so much younger than everyone else, you know, that he's facing. Like, he's facing pitchers who are 4 or 5 years older than him, 6, 7 years in some cases. And he really did perform. So seeing that double-A time he already has, yeah, he is obviously a very much a fast mover.
There is another guy in the Padres system, Ethan Salas, that is dominating. Well, there's some relation maybe with another player that's also in this product as well. Can you talk a little bit about Andrew a little bit?
So, again, I would put him in that group of very famous, understandably,
yeah,
you know, brother, all that. Solid year. The Marlins moved him really fast, right? Like most of this class was not playing at the level he was. There is a lot of projection remaining that needs to, like with Salas, I would say with Andrew, I would say that the question is how much strength is he going to add? Because right now, that's the part where it is a little surprising how quickly they moved him, because sometimes you have guys like the Marlins have another guy who's, I'd say, a better prospect in Kevin DeFrank, who is a basically full-grown man. He's 260 pounds maybe already. He's massive. Scouts describe him as an offensive lineman build. That guy was in the DSL. And Salas, who really, I would say that you're hoping is going to add 15 to 20 pounds of good strength over the next 5 to 7 years, was the guy who got pushed fast. Again, part of that is because he does have a very advanced understanding of the game. They know that his makeup can handle it. But there's a lot of still on the to-do list for Andrew, because there's a lot of strength to be added, a lot of power that he needs to add to his game. to kind of give it an analogy, like the Marlins acquired Starlin Cabba, you know, from the, you know, a couple of years, and Cabba's as good a defender at shortstop as there pretty much is in the minors probably, but he's got to hit for, you've got to drive the ball to the outfield. You got to make an outfielder take a step back every now and then. And that's where Starlin Cabba's not there yet. And that could limit his upside down the road.
See, and that's why I love Bowman Chrum. Every year we always talk about these players. We don't know what they're going to be. And I think that's something that I love. Cause I mean, in years past, like I was opening up Bowman Chrum just a couple days ago and Samuel Basayo comes out. People forgot that he was part of their checklist. And now look at what he's doing at the big league level. Another guy that at that point wasn't in his body. And then he grew into it, and now you can see what it is. So in 2025, though, I mean.
Hiring the right people fast keeps your team moving forward without losing momentum. Every day a position stays open is a day you're missing productivity, creativity, and growth. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed Sponsored Jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, Sponsored Jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. One thing I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast because it allows you to rapidly sort through candidates based on your preferences. Plus, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/baseballamerica. Just go to Indeed.com/baseballamerica right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/baseballamerica. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need.
Seth, the designs this year, I mean, they're gorgeous. So can you talk a little bit about the players that are on all of these new designs that are bringing in for 2025 Bowman Chrum?
Well, first, let me speak. I see your Basayo story, and let me raise you ever so slightly. So, during the downtime, last offseason, I was doing some breaks on Fanatics Live, and I bought into a Bowman Chrome break from a few years ago, and I hit Mariners in it, and just hit a couple of random autographs, and didn't realize until April or May that one of the random autographs I had hit was a Cal Raleigh first. On card to $4.99, which at the time was just kind of like, all right, I was bored. I got an autograph card. Here we go. Got it graded. It graded a 9.5 on SGC, and I sold on eBay for almost $600. So, wow. Yes, Bowman Chrome. You never know. And meanwhile, yeah. So you never know. Meanwhile, I'm sure there's other guys' cards that I can be using as cup holders and
from my table. Absolutely.
I forgot the question and I apologize.
No, you're good. No, there's a lot of different new designs this year in Bowman Chrome. Yes. They've added some new touches, this and there. Can you touch a little bit on what to expect on these inserts and some of the players that we may see on those inserts as well?
Well, my favorite remains the Garbage Pail Kids cards. It's hard to call those a new design, but you couldn't have produced a better product that casts a net over the old school fan, the new school fan. It makes for such a fun chase. I'm still a huge fan of the Garbage Pail Kids product. I will tell you very honestly that there's not a lot design-wise, and I'm the designer here at Baseball America in addition to my baseball card responsibilities. I think it's a beautiful set. I think it's a clean set. Bowman in recent years has just been very good, very nice, and very clean. Visually, there's not a ton that jumps out at me like, wow, I want to chase that. And that's unfortunately, I hope I'm not being too negative here, on the heels of the Topps Chrome set this year, which I thought was also, I don't want to say lacking, but the Fanatical insert just kind of felt like an afterthought this year, and that was supposed to be a big case hit. That being said, you can't go wrong with chasing the rainbow on any of these guys. The Shoeless Joe Jackson cards, not to go back to those alone. I've seen the reds and oranges of those. Those are absolutely stunning. The thing that I love that they're doing this year is to, go to a positive note is the international refractors are such a cool idea to get backgrounds of their actual home countries, to have some of the low numbered autographs be, you know, in their native language. Those are going to be such big chases. And, you know, Topps is, I don't want to say they're catching up to the international market, because obviously they've always been there, but there's such a talent pool and such an audience, baseball card collector prospect audience from there, that I think those are going to be the biggest chases by far, you know. And, and, you know, looking, just thinking about breaks, you know, the way that I consume a product like Bowman Chrome is I usually buy a box or two of the hobby boxes to open day of, and, you know, we'll be posting some of those hits on baseballamerica.com. Hopefully we get at least a few. But then I love buying into Breakers Delight breaks. You know, I love seeing the, you know, especially on We the Hobby, you know, and speaking of We the Hobby, just a quick side note here, a We the Hobby breaker pulled me a debut patch last year in Topps Chrome update. And that's, that is amazing. A story that we will save for when this year's Topps Chrome update comes out, but we'll have a lot of fun telling that story. So that's, We the Hobby is a good luck charm in a lot of ways for me.
Let me tell you this, you can never find it anywhere better than We the Hobby. I can tell you that.
Yes. Yes. I can see your marketing person there holding up the script for you.
Right. How'd you know?
I'm totally joking. I'm totally joking. I'm a big fan of the Breakers Delight because you know, you can ask JJ or anyone at Baseball America who talks to me. I'm still a 10-year-old collector at heart. I love the pretty colors. I love the inserts. There's so much cool stuff there. Even just finding the red RCs, it's just, to me, part of the fun of a release like this is finding the big hits, is finding not just the players that everyone's looking for, but you know, dialing down. And you know, we have our story right now on baseballamerica.com of the teams that are kind of under the radar and the ones to know about this year, but pulling those big hits. But my advice to people would be, when you look at the checklist, look at the team sets, look at the teams that are under the radar, but do have Garbage Pail Kid cards or do have International Refractors cards, because there are a number of them that might not be the, you know, the Cardinals, who everyone knows about Weatherholt, and it is a great chase, or the Red Sox with Roman Anthony, which is a great chase, everyone knows about. Christian Campbell, everybody knows about. You know, look at teams, like I said, like the Padres, who have multiple Garbage Pail Kids. The Mets have, you know, they have some top prospects too, 3 or 4 Garbage Pail Kids. But there are teams that you can get in an online break, especially in Breakers Delight cases. And I love buying into Breakers Delight cases because you're bound to come back with something, and you never know. You never know, because Topps kind of does a nice job of spreading it around among all 30 teams, where the cheapest team in the break might come away with the best card in it. And even if it's not a player in particular that you know about, number one, just because you pulled them in a break and it might be a big card, they're going to be your new favorite player in your new PC. Number two, you never know, any Garbage Pail Kid, any International Refractor, and I don't mean to hook on those two in particular, but those are two of the big chases this year. Whether you want to sell them on eBay, whether you want to hold on to them, there's value to be had there up and down the board. And that's the great thing about prospects too, is that there's the popular teams, and rightfully so in a lot of ways, but there's talent spread across all 30.
I completely agree. Can you touch on two different markets? The first one is the young kid market. People may not know who Shoeless Joe Jackson is. Can you give us a little bit of insight on that? But also at the same time too, for JJ too, first one will be for Seth on that one. But for JJ, can you talk about what the international market is now doing to the overall prospects, but also maybe to a little bit of cards as well?
Yeah, well, you know, you can read our story about Shoeless Joe right now on baseballamerica.com. He was one of the greatest players of all time, a 350 something, I believe, lifetime hitter, absolutely Hall of Fame bound before the 1919 World Series, with the scandal where players on the White Sox were, you know, given money by local gamblers to throw the World Series. They did lose the World Series. Shoeless Joe was a part of that, even though he actually had a phenomenal World Series. It's His legacy has become that of legend because of books and movies like Eight Men Out and Field of Dreams. He was only reinstated into baseball earlier this year, him and Pete Rose both. Shoeless Joe Jackson died in 1951, the same year that Topps produced their first set of cards. So even with all of the retro stuff Topps has done over the years, they've never had a Shoeless Joe Jackson card. Now they do. So much like in recent years, they've done, you know, first Bowmans for, you know, guys like Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth, which have been, you know, fun chases. This is a really fun chase. I can't imagine that somebody out there, you know, might even be We the Hobby. I know We the Hobby just put a big bounty on the Evan Longoria bat knob card.
Yeah.
You know, somebody out there will, whoever it is, and it might happen by the time, you know, as we tape this, nobody has yet, because, you know, we'll see, but we'll put a big bounty on the one of one version of this. So if nothing else, it's a really fun chase, and I'm going to pitch it over to JJ now.
Yeah. So I would say on the international side, like the thing that has happened now is, you know, for one, I don't think I have to sell to anyone watching this to understand, like, okay, are international prospects important? Because I remember when we were writing about Shohei Ohtani when he was making his debut in the NPB in Japan, and it's like, watch out for this dude coming down the road. Julio Rodriguez a few years ago, you know, we could just go down the Juan Soto, obviously, we could go down the list. Like, so many of the best players in the game come from the international market. Yes. But the thing that I would say that is now also true is that, you know, we've been covering International Signing Day for years, and we've tried to kind of cover more and more kind of the, but now it's been compressed, right? There is no longer short season ball. There's no longer the Appy League. So the steps are really DSL, or sometimes like a guy like Jesus. There are guys like we just talked about with Salas, but also Jesus Mates and all, who kind of really do jump quickly. Like, so, okay, it's DSL in a lot of cases, like Mates straight to low A. Luis Peña straight to low A. Soon to high A. You turn around, there in double A. Jackson Churio a couple of years. I'll never forget one of our guys, Josh Norris, coming back from the first week of the season being like, I've already seen the best player I'm going to see all year. And it was a teenage Jackson Churio. Here he is already. Boom, he's in the big leagues. These guys are moving fast in a lot of cases. And where I do think that you do have, like, if you are looking at this and you're saying, okay, like, again, Seth talked about, like, if you're saying, which teams do I want, you know, and breaks and all that, that's one thing. But if you're kind of really spotlighting cards here, there are guys who are, like, for most people, I've got to believe they're looking at these checklists and they're looking at these refractors, the international refractors and all, and they're going, who are these guys? There is knowledge to be had there on some of these are guys who, no offense to them, but they're probably going to repeat the DSL next year because they really struggled. I mean, that's not a knock on the set or anything like that. This is in the process, literally, as these guys were making their pro debuts. So yeah, some of them are gonna, you know, hit a speed bump already. And others are guys who are so much better as prospects now than they were, what they were perceived to be just a couple of months ago. So there's a lot of opportunities there, because you are talking about, again, if we were doing this at this time last year, we would be talking about Jesus Mate and saying, like, this guy really does look like he could be really special. But that would have been like,
that was before everyone knew that he was really special.
Yes.
Right. He was, I'll say, like, that's Joshua Gonzalez this year, right? Joshua is the guy who's already in our top 100, basically, winning our top 100, like, from the DSL. Like, that doesn't happen very often. We've just had one of our guys was out at, Instructs watching Joshua hit two home runs in a game in the backfields this last week. Like, these are the kind of guys who they go from who is this guy to household name in the span of a year.
And see, and you're right about that too. Another guy that I think people don't think about, Asbel Gonzalez for the Royals. Another guy that the Royals are moving guys through their system. And I always think about that too as a collector, because if I'm going to get into a product, I want to know if I'm going to be able to make my money back or be able to sell in the next couple of years when it comes to it. And so, you know, yes, there's some guys that are going to repeat at the DSL, but when they do come over, they're going to make an immediate impact, and they probably maybe not even see the ACL or the FCL. They're going to go straight into single A, maybe high A, and it doesn't matter their age. Age is only a number, you know. Of course, younger the better sometimes when it comes to it. You know, we say 18 years old versus 22 can be a little bit of a different story, but it's all about the development of these players, which is something that people never think about, which is what I love so much about it.
Yeah. And I want to invite everybody listening to this that, you know, whether you're breaking your own Bowman Chrome, watching breaks, thinking about who to buy into, if you have a question about a prospect, and I'll give you the quick sales pitch here, and I know I'm biased, but trust me, I'm a baseball card guy. I've been a baseball card guy for 40 years. I've only been at Baseball America 3.5. Go to baseballamerica.com. If his name is in Bowman Chrome, there will be a scouting report on him. It will be as recent as you can possibly imagine, because these guys are constantly doing this stuff. And a little pro tip is check out the We the Hobby feed on Fanatics Live on break day, because if you're interested in taking a subscription to Baseball America out, there might be a little surprise there waiting for you to help you along the way. And I will tell you again, as an impartial observer from before I even started working here, between fantasy baseball and collecting, the price of the subscription will pay for itself in about 3 hours. It's incredible. It's that was the sales pitch. I'm done with the sales pitch.
Well, let me tell you this though. What's amazing too is we're going to be at PSA, so which means we're going to be doing grading again for the people. So if you get a card and we truly believe that this guy is going to be a difference, we're going to get those big boys out and ready to go as quick as possible.
I love
it. Josar Gonzalez, any player when it comes to that. So the last question I have though, who is going to be your team and who is your one chase that we still have to look at for this, just to make sure everyone knows that this is the team and this is the player we want to go after?
I'll let Seth do the team because he's been diving in on this.
Well, okay. So outside of the usual top teams, and I'm looking down at notes here because this is such a dense set. I just don't want to lose anything. Outside of the usual tippy top teams, the Dodgers, the A's, the Red Sox, you know, our Matt Pajak in his story on baseballamerica.com is putting over the Giants. I have three teams that are kind of flying a little under the radar that I'm really looking at. I also have one team that I'm looking at as not the chase for this year. The one that I'm looking at that's not the chase for this year, and this isn't just the bias of my Mets fandom, is the Yankees are always going to be a big chase. I'm not knocking the Yankees. They have, you know, Judge and Jeter both have Garbage Pail Kids cards, which will sell for stupid money. But you look a little bit beyond that, and the prospect list and the full list in the set, including the autograph list, not what the Yankees usually are. Are they still worth the money and the value purely for the chases? Absolutely. And they are the Yankees. I'm not knocking the Yankees. It's hard to. They're the one I'm not chasing. The three teams that are a little under the radar for me. Number one, the Padres. The combination of ton of good chase cards and DeVries, who is, again, the hack in the A system. You know, you get all kinds of DeVries stuff. Number two, the Twins. The Twins don't have anyone who's like, holy cow, I got blank. You know, they have the usual names, but the Twins are one of those teams. And if you look at the last few releases from Topps, the Twins always kind of sneak under the radar. And then the Twins hit. The Twins hit, and they have a lot of young talent. They have a nice spread on different inserts and checklists. They have Garbage Pail Kid. They have a Garbage Pail Kid. I think they have one. They have international prospects. And then my third team that's kind of under the radar, it's really low priced and a lot of breaks right now, is the Reds. And the Reds, they have a handful of decent prospects, but the Reds for two reasons. Number one, the other retrofractor in the set is Tony Perez, and he does sign, so that's a good chase. Number two, Ellie signs in the Bowman Chrome. So the Reds are purely from, if you can get them for 40, 50, 60 bucks in a delight case, it might be worth the gamble as opposed to a few hundred bucks if you're, you know, because one hit from the Reds could be an absolute monster. So those are my kind of three under the radar chases. JJ, to you.
Okay, so now I'm not going to go for the obvious, right? You don't need me to tell you that Roman Anthony is a really good, you know, guy to get or anything like that. I'm not going to go for Josar Gonzalez is really good. He's already in our top 100. You can see that. Nate George, guys like that. I would call those are names already, right? Like if you're paying attention, you should know that. So I'm going to give you three guys who are projections. They haven't come to the States yet, but they are guys who have the package to where you could say, okay, this guy could be one of the best prospects in the game before that too long, right? So Kevin Alvarez with the Astros. This is a guy who really kind of stands out. Like I think we even wrote at Baseball America recently, like a guy who would not be surprising at all to be in the top 100 next year. Diego Tornes with the Braves, another guy who well-rounded skill set, still some projection to go, but this is what they look like as guys who center fielders who could really pop. And then similar profile again, Chris Rodriguez with the Tigers. I'm not saying fully polished prospect or anything like that, but I think that those are three guys who there are bigger. I would say that there are guys who are considered right now bigger names in the DSL, but those are guys who really do stand out to me as potentially guys that if you get a card like that or you go chasing cards like that, you could say, okay, I got this. I was ahead of the curve on these guys is what I would say.
Did you see me writing that down at the same time everyone else?
Yeah, I want to make sure everyone write it down because, I mean, the funny thing too is you said seven different teams right there, and I have three in my mind. I'm going after the Royals. I'm going after the Cardinals, and I'm a Bryce Eldridge collector. I'm going after the Giants because already just seeing what he's already going to be able to do in the next couple of years is going to be amazing. But first and foremost, thank you to both of you for joining so much and allowing Baseball America to be a part of We the Hobby and not only knowing your stories of collecting, but of the prospects as well, too. And I know that I'm going to be reading. I mean, I always read everything from my time, but first and foremost, thank you for taking time out of your day to be able to talk prospects and talk cards with us. But second, yes, make sure everyone checks you guys out because you have the insight of what's going to make these players worthwhile when it comes to these chases in Bowman Chrome. I mean, we are literally a week away from breaking at PSA of Bowman Chrome. And this is an opportunity now for people to come in, grab players, and get grading where you don't have to worry about it. All of a sudden, now you might talk about a player. I have a Chris Rodriguez on a Gem Mint 10. And all of a sudden, in a couple of years, you're going to say, wow, I want to thank JJ for helping me out with that. Wow, I just grabbed a team that I never expected, and they are hitting big for me. So first and foremost, I want to say thank you to both of you for joining us on this. It's been amazing.
Thank you very much for having us. That's awesome. I hope it's a great day. And we get to break a whole day earlier next week because they moved.
I can't wait either. It's going to be amazing. But any last words from each of you before we get out of here?
This is going to be fun to see because, again, this is a way that I'm kind of the new guy when it comes to stuff like this. But I really am enjoying kind of like there's so much of this that in the last year I've been learning. So it's like being able to marry the prospect knowledge with this is really fun.
And you know, they came to me a few months ago and they said, hey, we want to do more stuff with collectibles and baseball cards. Do you want to help coordinate that? And it was like, I could have hit the Powerball and I don't know that I would have had quite the same reaction, you know, and so we're still feeling it out. And so we want to invite everybody who's listening to this, everyone in the We the Hobby audience, come check us out. You know, we try to be an amazing resource on the young talent. We're entering the time of year now with Bowman Chrome, Bowman Draft, you know, Bowman Sterling, Pro Debut. There's a lot of names out there. And if you want to know more and be able to invest more long term beyond just, hey, look, I got a guy on the Royals and it's out of five and that's great. And I have no idea who he is. You know, it's you know, you'll never, it's never a mistake to know more information. And I will tell you from firsthand experience, and this is not me, the Baseball America employee talking, this is me, the collector talking here. I have learned so much and been able to project and work on my collection and bring it to a positive level so much because of the information here. And so these sets can be very overwhelming. There's a lot of new names, but it's so much fun. It is so much fun. And please don't be shy about reaching out to us if there's things that we're not covering card-wise, collectible-wise, even prospect-wise that you want to hear more about. If you have questions, any of that, you know, we're going to be in the trenches, me especially, on break day. If you guys want to ask us anything, if you have questions, any of that stuff, we're just excited for this and we thank you for having us. And I'm sorry to ramble so much, but I get excited about cards and I'm a 6-year-old kid again. So thank
you. Let me tell you, cards are getting crazier. Playoffs, AFL is now here. The Arizona Fall League is here because now is the time to start getting your cards. If you're looking to sell, now's the time to do so. Guys, I appreciate the time and enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. Thank you.